Hello, everybody. Welcome to the first AI room for Bob's Day.
Yay!
Cheer.
There we go.
Our first speaker today is William Jones. He comes from Southampton, UK. Believe it or not, he loves some hand balance and strongman, so that's all really cool. And he's recently taken up some bouldering, despite really hurting himself the first time he ever did it. I've got to say, I am very interested in this talk, and please, Will, take it away.
I think let's try here. Even louder.
Okay.
No, that's even worse. Hang on. Over here, maybe sound better. Here, speak here.
Okay. Start with a set of definitions, something like
AI is going to be intelligent and machine learning bits inside that. These things obviously have their place, but I just don't think it's the most helpful thing to do to teach people to the topic. So what I'd like to do instead is technical motivations to do this, why this type of thing is important at the moment. So to do that, what I'm looking to not do is this, I'm just like to have a fairly fancy scale looking at AI and machine learning things, because at the core, what we're doing is really simple. It's not difficult, it's not scary. And what we're really trying to do is understand data. Most of all, what we're doing with AI and machine learning is to try and understand about large bits of data, or like large populations of data, from small samples of data. And I don't think I need to motivate why this is an important thing to be able to do in general. If I give you examples of, I want to understand how hardworking all sorts of engineers are in the world, then that's quite a difficult thing to do. The population of software engineers is high. Even if I did ask them how hard they were, they probably wouldn't tell me, obviously. So there's clearly plenty of times where we want to do this, but actually I want to give an argument now as to why it's understanding about large populations, not small samples, is something that isn't just a niche, it's something we have to do in almost every case, and it's the problem that we're solving with AI and machine learning. And the motivation for this, that's sort of just really high-level, is called the recursive dimensionality or chromosomal explosion. And what this is about how even data sets with not many dimensions, not many ways they can vary, will, because of the way these dimensions are combined electronically, end up being absolutely massive, even when they appear to be at a small scale. So, let's walk through an example of that, and let's consider just a silly case where we're going to deny how hard software engineers work on. So, again, I want to understand how hard software engineers work. That's something, as I've said, that's difficult to measure directly because they won't tell you honestly. But what I could do instead is there's a lot of people on the internet telling me they're rich because they work. So maybe what we could do to predict how hard our software engineers work is to see which ones are skills. So that they can try. And okay, I can propose this hypothetical relationship. But then I need to understand how this relationship works. And I could either guess that as something myself, or I could use AI and machine learning. Try and learn how the relationship is. And if I do that, that's okay, that's something I can do. I'll probably want to make sure that I have good coverage on the scale of something. So I want to make sure that if I'm proposing this stupid relationship between A and how hard people work, that I at least have something who's low paid and high paid, or probably more granular than that, maybe something who's low, medium and high, or maybe even on that point. And all of these things would be perfectly possible and they would be achievable for me. However, when I unfortunately go away and I find that shockingly, actually, the most important people are actually ones working hardest at the moment because they don't have much of a relationship here at all. And this is a horrifying thing to me, but I still want to continue with my attempts to do this modeling. And I add in a second predictor, something like I can go into that again, and I can see a lot of people say, and the problem I'll find if I do this is that I suddenly don't need to find people back to have a coverage of senior and my paid employee. I don't just need to see people who are actually using this division, I need to see all possible combinations. And if I'm doing a higher example, that's something that's. That's something that's okay. But for I believe something that's something else, so I don't need six people, I need 9 people, and for a 10,000 test, I don't need 10 people, I need 100 people. And probably 10 friends who honestly know how hard they work and how they are paying and how they're pushing. And in my hands, in a third division here, I say something silly, like I notice a lot of the best software engineers, some of the IGs, and the big engineers. And my boss is that they need it, and it's how people work, then things can get more complicated again. I don't just see 9 data points, and I see 4 data points, and 5 data points, and respectively 27 or 1,000. And this is essentially what we're trying to do with AI and machine learning, and this is what we've got. This is why AI machine learning is suddenly so popular, because it's a massive cliche, but we are in an increasingly data-driven world, and we need a way of managing that data. And by just at the surface level, by the argument I've just given you, there's only one way to do it, and that is to use things like AI, machine learning, and statistics. We also have a nice little a side benefit from all of this is that AI and machine learning do allow us to automate a set of tasks which are otherwise very, very difficult to do. There are many tasks, like, for example, the ones I just gave, where it's extremely difficult to come up with a solution directly. For example, if I wanted to look at a picture and tell you whether it has a cat or a dog in it, that's not something like, if you put me in a room and said I couldn't leave until I'd done that, you'd come back to a skeleton 10 years later. It's just not possible to solve that problem directly. But to solve that problem indirectly by learning a solution from a set of examples, that's something I could do. And in fact, modern tooling is so good, I could probably do that in 5 minutes reasonably. It's really easy these days. Where open source fits into this? So we have to do our AI somehow. We've obviously sort of got to do it with software. It's not really a problem that can be solved at other scales, so we have free and open source software, as thankfully actually these days a very big part of AI. And that's good, that's great, that's something we all know quite a lot about. But alongside this, we also have, thank you, we also have open source data and open source models. And this is, I mean, this is another great thing that we can share when we're doing AI and machine learning. We can share not just the software we use to do things, we can share the models that we use. So I posited earlier this slightly silly relationship between, what I say, income or pay, beard length, and seniority, and how hard people work. And yeah, perfect. Yay, cool. Now try. Thank you. Okay, what was I saying? Open source data. Open source data and open source models. Yep, sorry. Yeah, so as well as open source software, we have open source data and open source models. These are, this is another lovely extra thing we can do. I think Michel Marie is going to be talking quite a lot about this later. And yeah, another lovely other thing we can do. Again, it's another quite a big cliche, but obviously with all these benefits that we get from AI machine learning, we get a lot of challenges as well. We have some quite big challenges at the moment. Explainability is one of these. We have, I think, quite a lot of difficulty getting our more advanced models, particularly, to tell us about why they work, how they're coming to the solutions that they do. And this is a big problem in applications which directly relate to people's lives, like automotive or healthcare. Not being able to understand like why we've just run that poor old lady over is a big issue. And this is a real issue. The automotive industry at the moment has these wonderful self-driving cars that are in many ways and by many metrics are better than humans. But you know, the regulators aren't letting any of this happen because there's no accountability for them. There's no way of showing that they behave well, and there's no way of proving that they do what they should do. We also have issues of bias. AI and machine learning models are ultimately a reflection of the data that they were trained on, and that can be a problem when the data has been scraped from the internet. The internet is a very wonderful thing, but I think we all know that not all of the content on the internet is great, and models that are trained on this come to reflect the biases inside of it. This has been sort of very publicly the case in a few examples with hiring AIs where people have trained these on data sets of their historical hiring practices, and this has turned out not particularly well and been quite biased, for example, against women. That was quite a high-profile case in the last few years. And yeah, this is not a great issue either. Privacy is also a final difficult issue. With a demand for AI and machine learning models comes a demand for data. And this data doesn't always respect people's privacy as it should. And even when it does, models themselves often leak things about the data they were trained on, either intentionally or unintentionally. Anyway, that is the end. I think I ended quite early, which should give us plenty of time to fix things and switch over. Do we have any questions?
If you can raise your if you can raise your hand to your yep.
Thank you. My question is regarding the combination between free open source software, open source data, and open source model. We have non-native licenses like GPL to define free open source software. My question is if we have some definition of license or agreement on what an open source model and an open source data set are.
Hi. Sorry, it was a bit difficult for me to hear that. Did you get that?
Okay. Raul?
Yep.
Okay.
We know what these free open source software of the GPL license. My question is if we have a licensing or model or agreement for what open source data and open source models are.
I not to pass the buck here, but I actually think our next speaker's got quite a lot to say about that. Might be.
You will stay after or not after the session? So I will answer to this question in detail in my presentation. So, but it's a big, big issue, and we'll try to answer. Okay.
Next question. Really boring. Making me go all the way up there.
You listed the three focus areas of concern. Can you elaborate on how security fits into that portfolio of concerns?
Again, it was a little difficult to hear that. Was that security?
Security, AI.
Security. Yeah, it's a tricky thing. I think the main difficulty here is that we do know how to do security well in some respects with things like differential privacy, but it's what cost we pay, or what price we pay to do this, and doing security and also having things run at the speed we want them to go at. That's a tricky thing. Does that answer your question?
It's just that I see a lot of focus on the three you listed and not a lot of focus on basic cybersecurity related to these new models.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, I think that's a perfectly fair comment. Honestly, people do really focus on these three things, and it's really tempting to, well, like I just did, focus on things like differential privacy, information leakage, because they're interesting. But yeah, basic cybersecurity really should be the first port of call for these things.
Any other questions? All right, everyone, give it a round of applause for Will.